Well, hey friends, welcome to the Everyday Meal and Ship podcast. This is kind of a unique episode. I just tried to do a little bit of a shorter episode for you, just give you something to think about. And this was on my mind today, you know, how everything matters. Everything makes a difference. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I want to give a quick shout out to our amazing sponsors that make this podcast free for you. And we sure appreciate their support. And I would love it if you would reach out to them and tell them thanks as well. We got Western Mule Magazine. They've been doing a great job for decades, producing awesome content for you. Also, another magazine, Mules and More Magazine. Corey Daniels over there does a tremendous job putting that production together. It's just a wonderful magazine, and she does a good job as well. And we also got Boyd Ranch Mule Days, which is coming up here. We're just a little over a month away from Boyd Ranch Mule Days, and I can't wait. We got clinics going on there. We got rides. We got competition, good food, good music, all the stuff. So come see us down there at Boyd Ranch in Wickenburg, Arizona. Also, big shout out to my buddy Colt Nearing with Colt Saddlery. I love my saddle that he built for me. Right now, he's building another saddle for Sky. Can't wait to get it. He does a great job. Get on his list. It's a long list, but it's worth the wait. And last but definitely not least, my buddy Ben Lewis over at Roman Home Tents. If you're like me, if you like to get into the backcountry, you like to hunt, fish, camp, pack, you got to have a Roman Home Tent on that pack saddle. You better look him up, romanhome.com. And he does a great job, builds wonderful gear. So with that being said, let's get into our episode. Thank you so much for being here today. Well, hey, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Muleship Podcast. This is episode 197, and we're getting closer to 200. Pretty excited for that. I sure appreciate you guys continually supporting us, listening to our episodes, and we love you guys, and we're grateful that you're following along here. I often get asked a question: what's the one thing I need to know about mules, or what's the one thing you'd recommend? What's the most important thing? The truth is, there's not one thing. Everything matters. And I don't mean to make that sound complex, but it really does. Everything matters. Everything around you, everything that you do, everything that you think matters in the end of how your mule is going to perform for you, what your relationship is going to be like with your mule. Everything matters. And you know, I mean, you can break it down like this. Let me just take one step at a time here for you, so you can kind of see what I'm saying. You know, some people might say, well, the most important thing is discipline. The most important thing is, you know, consistency, commitment, time. You know, maybe somebody's looking for the answer in a specific movement or maneuver or something like that. But the truth is you really can't narrow it down like that. You can't narrow it down to one thing. Everything matters. You know, this week in our Ty Evans masterclass, one of the modules, one of the lessons in the module talks about how we see ourselves. And long story short, it goes on to explain and talk about, you know, the thoughts that we have about ourselves are often contributing to the thoughts we have about people around us, things around us, including our mules, our horses, our donkeys. If we tend to think negatively about ourselves, it's really easy to think negatively about your animals. It just comes easy. You know, you got to control your thoughts. This matters. And I've seen it over the years. You know, at the time of this recording, you know, we're going on to our 12th year. It'll be 12 years coming up in May of 2024 that we've been on the road doing clinics. And even before that, you know, training for the public, basically being around that my entire life between what I did and what my dad did for a living, I seen a correlation. People that tend to think negatively about themselves, have negative thoughts about themselves, tend to have negative thoughts about their animals. It's the same thing with positivity. People that tend to be positive, uplifting, thoughtful people in that way tend to have positive influence on everything around them, including their mules and their horses. This matters. You know, a lot of you have been around me enough to know that you probably heard me say this, that, you know, I'm not saying that your mule can read your mind, but I'm not saying that they can't. Well, these days, you know, if you've been around me enough, you know that I just say, hey, they can feel what you think. The mule feels what you think. Your thoughts matter. They make a difference. You know, and Ray Hunt, there's a quote from Ray Hunt in his book, Think Harmony with Horses. And he says, you know, basically, you know, if you think the horse is going to buck you off, you're probably right. They feel what you think. This matters. It really does. One of my favorite quotes from a man named Brigham Young. He's famous here in Utah. But Brigham Young, he said, if you have a negative thought about yourself, tell it to go to hell, because that's exactly where it came from. I like that. So positive thinking, your attitude, your thoughts, these things matter. If you approach your paddock, your pasture, your pen, where your mules are, and you kind of have a bad attitude about the day, they're going to feel that energy. They feel that negativity, and it's going to put them off. Or it takes a really confident animal to compensate for your negativity. I've seen that too. I've been around that enough. There's some great things that these confident animals can offer people that lack confidence. You know, their joy can shine through to us, and that's pretty special in a lot of situations. But those of you that are dealing with young mules, colts, you're starting something, you're dealing with something that's a little troubled, needs a little help, your attitude is going to make a difference. If I have a mule that is generally kind of difficult to catch or approach, and I walk out in the pen with a negative attitude, or maybe I even just had a bad day and I didn't leave it behind, if I bring that with me, that mule is definitely not going to want anything to do with me. They're lucky to, you know, I'm lucky to have them want to have anything to do with me in the first place, but they're definitely not going to want to be around me if I have that negative attitude. So you got to control your thoughts. Be positive. Have a positive outlook. In our masterclass, we have a whole bunch of practices. You know, we got a mindset assignment every week, and it's kind of fun going through that weekly. And we got a lot of them coming up that focus on building a positive mindset. And that's probably the most important part of that whole class, is developing a mulemanship mindset, a mindset of positivity, a mindset of controlling your brain, what you think, and therefore being able to control what you do. If you can't control your thoughts, it's really hard to control your actions. You know, I found that out. So this matters. You know, how do you see yourself? Because it, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you tend to see your animals the same way you see yourself. So make sure you're positive. I can't preach that enough. And I hope that means something to you. But everything matters. You know, I mentioned catching. You know, how you catch your animal. You know, how you put the halter on, the care that you take, the way you move, the way you fit that halter over their nose and up around their crown, how you put it on, how you tie it. I'm not necessarily talking about the knot, although that does make a difference too. I'm talking about how you deal with their head. How physically are you, you know, with their head? You know, I see a lot of people, they're constantly trying to hold their mules into position. You know, if you've watched our videos on our online video library, there's a Catching with Quality video on there. And I talk about just cradling that head, tipping that nose to you when you put the halter on and cradling the head there, offering a resistance-free spot when they find the spot that you're looking for. There shouldn't be any resistance from you or them. It should be some lightness. They should just kind of hover there with their head. But a lot of people don't think of that. It, maybe they do bend the mule's head around, which I will at least compliment that they're putting a, you know, they're at least trying to get in position. They're not just trying to, you know, throw that halter on there when the mule's head's tipped away, which is, you know, comes down to a safety factor. But if you have to hold that there, consider the brace that you're putting in. Consider how all these things will stack up in the end. How, you know, it's amazing the people that will tell me their goals, and their goals include words like lightness, softness, flexible, you know, all these, you know, kind of nice and fluffy words, but yet what they actually do, how they actually handle, is not consistent with what they're telling me they want. It's not consistent. You can't jerk that head around there when you go to catch them. As you walk up to them, you want a mule that's soft. And when I say soft, I'm referring to the mental side of the mule. You know, you approach the mule and you walk up without considering the mule, without being tuned in to how they feel. You might just blow them right away with your energy that's in you. But if I walk up to a sensitive mule and I notice that I'm bothering them, I need to change my approach. I need to adjust to fit that. I might actually draw back. I might take a step to the side, to the left or to the right or whatever, and try to get a little draw on that animal and let them know that, hey, I noticed that you're kind of bothered there. Your mule needs to know that you notice them. You know, after you get them caught, you know, how you send them through the gate, how you lead, where the mule is, are you thinking about these things? Are you thinking about the positioning of where they are in relationship to you? This might sound pretty basic, and it might be something that you've thought about a million times, or some of you might have never thought about this, but I'll tell you what, there is a direct correlation in the positioning of you leading your animal to how they view you and how they see you, how they relate to you. Those of you that let your mule get out ahead of you, their head is ahead of you, and basically you're behind that eye, you are in a following position. This matters. You will be considered as such, especially with the mules. You need to know how the herd dynamic works for donkeys and for horses and how they position themselves as they move. When you're behind, you are a follower. And I'm not talking follower leadership like in our human ways. I'm talking about the mule way. You will be discounted. You know, I've seen it a million times. People that just kind of follow their mule along. The mule will not consider you the same as if you are out ahead of them and they are following you. Now, I don't like to be way out ahead of them. I'm not saying I want my mule dragging behind me, but I'm saying I want them right there with me. And I'm that leader that they need in that moment. These things matter. Everything matters. It might just seem like, oh, geez, I'm just leading my mule from the pen to the tack room. Geez, it doesn't matter that much. Well, yeah, it does. All these things matter. There's no practice session with the mules. It's always life for them. It's just life. It might be practice for you. You might be getting ready for a ride. You might be getting ready for an event. You might be getting ready for a show or whatever. You might be getting ready. Maybe it's practice for you. Maybe it's just pleasure for you. You know, you're just having fun, which is great. But for the mule, it's life. It all matters. So you can't say, well, I'm just practicing today. We'll do the real thing later. It is the real thing for the mule. You know, as you saddle up, you know, think about how you throw that saddle on. I want my mules very responsive. I want my mules to be sensitive to my leg and sensitive to my seat. And yet, it's easy to catch myself just throwing that saddle up there. You might feel the same. You might do the same thing. You might just throw that saddle on, you slap that saddle on their back. Now, I want my mule like sensitive to the saddle, meaning worried about the saddle or anything. But I do want them to have some feel in their body. And if I just throw that saddle up there, it might deaden them. You know, for me, when I'm riding a lot of animals, time is important. I need time to be able to go through and work these things. It matters how I put my tack away, how I do it, my cinches. I've seen people throw the, and I've done this many a time too, throw that saddle on and the stirrup gets stuck under your saddle because maybe you didn't swing it with your hip. You kind of use your back too much. That stirrup gets stuck under there and you kind of set that saddle on top of that stirrup. That's going to add up over time. And you might notice some negative sensitivity come because of that. These things matter. Throw your saddle on with quality. Have your tack ready. Have your gear ready so that you can easily, smoothly put your gear on and have it be comfortable for the animal. Speaking of gear, it matters. Your gear does matter. You know, keeping your gear clean. It's amazing, you know, how many folks don't clean their gear. I mean, keep that, you know, you got to use a britchin or a crouper. You know, think about the crouper. Those of you that use croupers regularly, think about that. Think about particularly the tailpiece. Is that leather crusty, stiff, nasty? Is that hard? Think about what's going to happen there. Think about how your animals are going to perform with that on. Your britching going around the hips. You know, are they cracked? Are they rough? Are they stiff? Think about you wearing your clothes, your stuff, putting a backpack on or putting your jacket on or whatever. Think about your hat. Think about how you would relate to this comfort. And then think about putting a headstall on your mule. How many crusty old headstalls I've seen, I can't even say. Think about it. Is your gear well taken care of and comfortable? Everything matters. Something else just related to this is your standards of these things. Do you take care of your gear? Do you keep it oiled? Do you keep it clean? Do you replace it when it's broke? Do you fix it when it's broke? Do you maintain it? These type of standards will also go into your mulemanship and how you treat your animals, how you work with your animals. You know, the care that you take. Take care of your stuff. Take care of your mulemanship. Take care of your animals. It all matters. Moving on from there, standing still to mount. How you get on matters. Everything matters. You know, and this can relate to standards. This can also relate to the sensitivity of your animal. You get on and you're holding that saddle horn and that cantle and you roll your saddle when you step up. This matters. You're putting torque. You're putting pressure on that spine, on that, whether you're twisting that saddle to where it shouldn't be, and it's going to be uncomfortable to the animal. This is going to cause them, if not just to move, which would be the bare minimum of things, but the worst would be causing them to brace as you step up. Bracing as in kind of tensing that muscle on you. This is going to matter. You can't tell me you want a sensitive, really light, a nice reining animal, something that's real light, and then you torque that saddle up there. Those things don't go together. You got to pay attention. It all matters. The standards, you go to get on and they walk off. You're not keeping them centered. This is a standard that matters, and they're going to relate to it one way or the other. If you just let them walk off all the time, that's normal. The mule doesn't do anything right or wrong. Behavior doesn't have the same value to the mule as it does to us. We consider behavior. That's an abstract thought. For them, it's just life. What's easy, what's not. If you torque on that saddle and it's easier for them to kind of take a step and move and kind of shift away from that pressure, they're going to do it. It matters. When you get on, what you do next, it all matters. You might get on, and something I see often is people getting on at a trailhead and then they just get on and go, and they go, and they get back to the trailer at some point, and that's where the release comes for the mule. it's pretty easy to make a mule that just wants to get the ride over with and get done and get back. You can train the animal to do that. That's not a good thing. I want my mule to be with me all the time. So I might get on and I might just stand there for a while and just wait. How you sit, how you use your legs, how you use your hands, how you pick up on the rein, how you apply a heel or a spur, or how you ask questions, the angles of your rein use, the seat positions as you ask for different maneuvers, all these things matter. Something that you'll hear a lot in our clinics is a few phrases. You'll hear, get the leading foot light. This is in relationship to your seat position. This matters. If you're standing, sitting, or putting your weight on a foot that you want to move, this is going to be hard for the animal to do, and they're going to have to brace into you to get it done. And I'm always trying to keep brace and resistance away, and if there's any in there, I'm trying to get rid of it. Well, standing on a foot's going to impede that. It matters. Another phrase that you'll hear often in our clinics is leading rein leads leading foot. This matters too. I can't tell you the differences I've seen of just a little timing. Timing matters. I've seen people with poor timing. They go to turn their mule and you'd think that they're trying to pull around a 10,000 pound block of concrete by the way it looks. But yet if they had just a little timing with the foot as they make those turns, and they asked for a turn with a correlating foot as it's leaving the ground, you can take an animal that is maybe naturally bracy from their experiences in life, and you can have them light in seconds. It can look like they've been turning and stopping and spinning and backing up forever, their whole life. It looks like it's perfect just because of a little timing. Timing makes a difference, and it matters. Everything matters. All these things make a difference. Whether you think you can or you can't, you've heard this quote, those who think they can and those who think they can't are both usually right. That applies here too. This matters. You know, as you're working on these things, if you think your mule can do something, they probably will. If you don't, they probably won't. This goes for all kinds of stuff. You know, there's a million examples, and I'm just kind of rattling off my head here of what matters. I mean, we could get into all kinds of things. The weather matters. You're thinking, well, why does it matter if it's cold or it's hot? Well, if it's cold, I don't know about you, but when I ride in the cold, I tend to be tense and tight myself because, you know, I'm just trying to conserve, and it's easy to tense up in the cold. Well, this might affect a sensitive animal. They might read into this, and that tightness might affect them in a negative way. You know, feed. Okay, feed. This can work in all different ways. If you're feeding low protein, low energy feed, don't expect them to be light and responsive and just on it. They're going to be slow and sluggish and lethargic. On the other hand, if you're feeding them too high of protein, too high of energy feed, too high of sugar, you know, it's too much. Now you have an animal that is so on edge and so up, and it has more energy than you can deal with. Both of these things matter. You know, feed matters. Herd dynamics matter. You know, how they relate in the herd will be very similar to how they relate with you, you know. And I've seen this over and over again. And it's interesting correlation. You know, usually the mule that does all the picking and the bossing and the pushing out there, they're usually the least confident, at least in my herd and my experiences. The ones that do all the pushing, all the bossing, and they're just so busy out there when you throw feed, you try to take them out, have them out there on their own, riding out alone or something, and they're kind of little wimpy creatures. On the other hand, you got something that's kind of gets pushed around a little bit. You know, a lot of times, you know, they also lack a little confidence. But then you got something over there that just stays out of all of it. They're usually the most confident. And, you take one mule from this herd and you put it into another herd, and the dynamic might completely change. You know, it's very interesting. All these things matter. Age matters. What's going to happen at different ages? Everything from growth to experiences, this matters. It's going to change. You know, the type of writing that you do, this matters for sure. You know, something that changed for me big time is I didn't realize how much I used terrain to start my colts until I started traveling, particularly back east, where they don't have a lot of the terrain that I have. I realized that I definitely have terrain as a crutch in my training, because I would use the hills and the mountains. I would use the rocks and the logs. And, you know, we're out here in Utah. We got this crazy canyon country. We got big mountains. And if I had something that was kind of a handful, I'd just go up the mountain or go down the rocky wash. You know, you got a mule that's kind of a bolter, kind of a runaway. Well, you take it down to a wash with boulders everywhere. They just don't run off there. They don't do that. They're very keen. They're not going to just take off running through that boulder field. And if they do, it won't be very far. They quit really fast. Okay. But that was a crutch. What do I do when I get out to Kansas now? There's no mountains. There's no rocks. There's no washes to use. There's no sand. I actually have to do some real training now. I actually have to get their mind thinking. I can't just rely on the terrain to slow my animal down. You know, you have to, these things matter. The terrain matters. How you train in those situations matter. You know, if I spend all my time in the arena and don't expose them to things, this is going to matter. If I spend all my time just poking down a trail and I never ask them any questions, this is going to matter. There's situations where I'm going to get in trouble either way. I need to be well-rounded there. All these things matter. Medical, teeth, hoof care, all this kind of stuff matters. If your animal's sore, it's going to show up. It's going to show up in your training. You might think, oh, geez, my mule doesn't turn very good. I got a mule here right now that is a little sore. And I was riding her the other day, and I didn't notice it until I went into the trot that she had a little limp. At the walk, I couldn't even tell. And even after I knew that she had a little limp, I still couldn't tell at the walk. It only came up at the trot. But what I did notice at the walk was, as I was working on some turnarounds, she was really tight, really bracy, not very fluid, not very flexible there. Not a lot of mobility. I'm thinking, geez, what the heck? Well, then later on, I get into the trot and I feel that limp. I feel that pain that she's feeling there. I know it's there. Now I know that she wasn't turning very well, not because she wasn't any good at it. It's just simply because she was sore. All this stuff matters, how they feel. Another mule, I just bought her last year. My friend I bought her from was having a lot of trouble with bridling, putting the bit in. And when I got the mule, I checked her teeth out. Her teeth were absolutely terrible, horrible teeth. I mean, they were so sharp. She was cut on both sides of her cheeks. So many sharp tips on those teeth. So I immediately got her teeth floated. Well, guess what? I don't have a bridling issue anymore. She takes the bit just fine. It's not a big deal. She was just protecting herself. The teeth, they hurt. So all these things matter. The hoof care. I mean, you know, how their gut's doing. I mean, all this stuff matters. We could go on and on and on about all the things that matter. And I don't, like I mentioned at the beginning of this show, I don't mean to make it sound complicated, but we do need to be thoughtful about all these things. A lot of times it's really easy for us to say, oh, my mule's just saying no. My mule doesn't want to do this. My mule doesn't want to do that. It's not that your mule doesn't want to do something. Oftentimes they just don't know how, or there's issues in there, or there's something that we're doing. You've heard me talk about extreme ownership plenty of times, and I'll probably do another episode about that coming up, but it's always my fault. I can look at what's going on What did I do? What can I do to make it better? What can I change? Everything I do matters. I appreciate you guys listening to this episode, taking the time out of your day to learn a little bit more about mulemanship and horsemanship. And hope you guys have a good one. God bless you, and we'll see you down the road.